Have a listen to this. It's a clip from an interview that we broadcast with Sean Rowlett from County Sligo back in 2015, where he describes the tragic death of his wife Sally after giving birth at Sligo Hospital, which, along with the death of Dara Kivlahan of County Leitrim, who died during childbirth at Sligo Hospital in 2010, led to two very high-profile and indeed significant inquests.
Around 6 o'clock, one of the consultants came out and brought me in and says Sally's after suffering a stroke. To contact family members, so that's huge. You know, I just contacted family, and family came in, and it was very hard. And then family arrived, and by 11 o'clock, then things had got worse. And
just a day later, Sean, wasn't it?
The following day she had died.
36 years old.
36 years old, yeah. And I had to bring the four kids, or three kids, and the baby was down in another ward, but I had to bring the three kids in to tell them that mummy wouldn't be coming home. So.
The deaths of Sally Rowlett and Dara Kivlahan were referred to during the launch of a new book last week. And our next guest is the lead author of that book. It's called Medical Inquests. And I'd like to welcome to studio Roger Murray, who's senior counsel and partner and head of the Clinical Negligence Unit with Callan Tansley Solicitors. Roger, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Thanks very much for joining us. That's a very powerful clip, as you know only too well. But it is very relevant in the context of this book you've come up with.
It really is, and just hearing Sean's voice there and listening back to the events in relation to what happened to Sally really brought back very powerful memories of the two inquests that took place in 2014. You referenced Dara Kivlahan.
Yeah.
And Dara died in 2010, September 2010, from a treatable condition called HELLP syndrome after she gave birth in Sligo Hospital. She was airlifted and transferred to Belfast and tragically died there. But the then Sligo Leitrim coroner refused to hold an inquest into Dara's death on the basis that she had died in the jurisdiction of Northern Ireland. It took 4 years before an inquest was finally held in Sligo, in Carrick and Shannon. And it took for the appointment of a new coroner for Sligo Leitrim, Eamon McGowan, before Eamon directed that the inquest should take place here. And the tragedy from all of that is that between the hearing of Dara's inquest and the death of Dara's when Dara died, a further tragedy took place in Sligo. And Sally Rowlett from Dromore West died from the same condition in 2013. And the question would be asked, if Dara if the inquest had been held in relation to Dara's death earlier, would there have been greater learning? Would there have been
an understanding?
Awareness?
Okay.
An understanding, yeah.
Right, okay. So, which is, I mean, two awful tragedies. Tell us a little bit about the book Medical Inquests. What are medical inquests, first of all?
Very basic question. Yeah, so I suppose the first question, what's an inquest? So an inquest really is, it's a forensic fact-finding mission. So an inquest is unique in this country because you go down to the district court or the circuit court any day of the week and you'll see a contest. So the district court, you'll have an accused and you'll have the prosecution. Go down to the high court or the circuit court and you'll see a plaintiff and defendant. So you have two sides competing against each other. Inquests are unique in this country because they're inquisitorial. So the coroner is in charge.
Yeah.
And the coroner says, I want to hear from this witness and that doctor and this document is to be produced. And they're unique in that respect because in the district court or in the circuit court, the judge doesn't decide who to call. It's the prosecution or the defence.
So there's no adversarial aspect to an inquest at all.
Exactly.
It's just the facts as they are.
Just the facts as they are. And they're prohibited from coming down in relation to deciding blame or deciding criminal or civil liability. And that's the real, I suppose, power of an inquest, because you go down to the district court, as I said, or the criminal courts, the truth can get lost along the way.
Yeah.
The victim can get lost along the way. An inquest is limited in its scope in some respects, but in another respect, it is the one institution and the one legal instrument we have to get at the truth. Medical inquests are those that relate to cases where somebody has died following treatment in a medical setting, typically a hospital.
Right, okay. So what has changed in recent years for the better, as you say?
Well, Sean Rillette, who was mentioned in your clip there, was instrumental, together with a number of other fathers and a number of other people who'd been widowed, in respect of pushing for a change in the law so that there would be mandatory inquests when a woman dies after giving birth. So in 2015, a number of TDs, including Claire Daly, took up the gauntlet in the Dáil and said, and they looked at the statistics and they said, they found that 30 women had died over 3 years between 2010 and 2013 in Irish hospitals after giving birth, and only three were the subject of an inquest. So a number of people, there was a big groundswell of support that there should be mandatory inquests when women die after giving birth. And that led to a significant change in the law. So those two tragic Sligo cases that we heard of, Michael Kivlahan, who was widowed, and Sean Rillette, they and a number of other widowers pushed for a change in the law that we saw finally in 2019. So there can be change, and that was a massive, massive improvement on the situation.
And this is the 2019 Coroner's Amendment Act. We can actually play a little bit of a clip from that night in the Dáil when the legislation was being discussed, Claire Daly making her speech. Indeed, Sean Rillette and his young children were in the gallery that particular evening.
You are ordinary people who have lived through extraordinary tragedy, and your dignity, your persistence, your dedication and your strength is absolutely humbling. I am totally in awe of you and so, so very glad that we are here today.
So that tipped the balance favourably, and if things had been different back then, but anyway, that's a different story. So where are we at now? Inquests have to be held in certain circumstances,
that's
Roger,
right.
Isn't that it?
So yeah, emotional scenes in the Dáil when that bill became law, and a huge, huge moment for the women of Ireland, and a huge moment for those who had been bereaved by the process. So it's now mandatory under the 2019 Act for an inquest to take place when a woman has died following childbirth, or also if somebody dies in state custody. So if a suspect dies in a cell, or if somebody is a psychiatric patient who's been involuntarily detained, there has to be an inquest. In all other respects, there's still a discretion for coroners. But the 2019 Act has really strengthened coroners' powers to seize documents. They can get a search warrant. They can send a squad car out to collect somebody if they refuse to give evidence. They can compel the production of reports. They can refer a case to the High Court in relation to getting a point of direction. So massively strengthened powers for coroners under the new Act.
I suppose traditionally there was always maybe a culture in this country, not just in this country, elsewhere, that you don't challenge the medical professionals. They are the experts, and they're very, very skilled people, as we know. But that is changing, isn't it?
Massively over the last two decades in particular. And I think there's a couple of factors there. One is the bravery of the people who took on the institutions to start with and who started to ask the questions. We saw, for instance, in relation to a lot of the women who had been the victims of episiotomy in the Northwest, and a particular consultant who was under the spotlight there. So it took a lot of people, I suppose, and a groundswell of support to have the courage to take on the establishment.
Yeah.
But I think once that starts, and once people start to ask questions, undoubtedly there's greater awareness now. There's more information out there. And it's the courage and bravery of a properly run inquest. If you have a coroner who is courageous and say, no, I'm not going to stop till I look over every stone is overturned, that really gets at the truth. I finished an inquest on behalf of the family of the late Shane Banks in February. Shane was just 43 when he died. He was a lecturer here in the Atlantic Technical University, Sligo IT at the time. And he went for a routine operation in Galway and died. And he did have a condition. He had a serious condition. He was being treated for early stages of cancer. But the consensus at the inquest is that he would have survived, but for the way the two operations went. An inquest in Shane's death took place over nearly 3 weeks by the now retired coroner for Galway West, Dr. Kieran McLaughlin. We heard from almost 30 witnesses, hundreds of pages of records. And it took that level of detail. It was the longest running inquest in the history of the state from a medical point of view. And it took that level of dedication and application by a courageous coroner to actually make sure that people were called and every stone was overturned. So we have to pay tribute to the coroners around the country who, under limited resources, are doing their level best in relation to Shane's inquest. We never one day set foot in a courthouse.
Yeah.
The inquest was held in the function room of a boathouse, of a rowing club. It was held in the county council chambers of Galway County Council, and then actually in a theatre for 2 or 3 days. So we would add our voices to those calling for proper resources to be applied to the coroner service so that they're supported, they get the financial support that they need, and that they don't play second fiddle coroner's courts to other legal matters taking place. They deserve and should take place in a courtroom.
Yeah. Is it a growing aspect of your business?
Well,
for all the right reasons, I'm saying, because people are asking more questions and the law has changed. Is that the case?
We see it as a vocation, first and foremost. We see it as an opportunity to help families. So for every 10 queries that we get, maybe only 2 or 3 might lead to a civil case or to an action down the road. And this tallies with international studies, because only about 5% of people who are treated badly in a hospital end up getting legal advice. And the overwhelming majority of those, money is not on their mind. They're not looking for compensation. They're looking to get answers.
Yeah.
Why did this happen? And, you know, we still see in the 21st century now, 2022, the medical profession closing ranks. In spite of all the lip service we hear about duty of candour and open disclosure, families are still being stonewalled when something happens to a loved one. And that inevitably leads them to seek legal advice. So the very first reason why somebody picks up the phone and speaks to, and looks to talk to me or somebody in my office is because
they can't get the answers.
Can't get the answers, exactly.
Right. And that's not changing at all, or it's changing slowly, you feel, Roger?
To paraphrase from Yeats, change comes dropping slow. And I think that we would say more needs to be done, because there's no, the patient safety bill from 2019 was never passed into law. So in the same way as it made it, the law was now mandatory in relation to a maternal death, there has to be an inquest. We say there should be mandatory open disclosure. It should be a legal obligation that a family have to be told certain things, because that's still very uncertain at the moment.
Who's the book aimed at, Roger? You're talking about, you know, people picking up the phone and ringing your particular, the Callan Tansy in your case. So is it aimed at the legal profession, or is it aimed at individual people who need more information on exactly what inquests are and how they come about, and medical inquests? Or is there something for everybody of any interest in inquests and the procedure?
Well, that's a great question, and somebody said, who is your key reader in mind when you wrote it? And I suppose in the back of my mind, I think of my late father, Jimmy Murray, who died in February, 88 years of age, never got to secondary school. A man from South Roscommon, born in the 30s, had to go to America in the 50s to try and ply his trade. Was a carpet fitter all his life. But he and his buddies, they used to, a number of retired people, used to have lunch together in a hotel in Kildare, where I'm from. And they would inevitably talk about matters of the day, current affairs, legal cases. And when I was down with them in September, he took me out for lunch with his cronies, as we'd call them. And they're like, oh, you're the lad writing the book, you know. So it was kind of aimed at my dad's friends. So that sort of audience, that somebody, you know, well clued in, with an interest in current affairs, should in theory be able to pick up this book and say, right, well, what's an inquest? What's a medical inquest? You know, so it should be accessible to that person. It should be accessible as well to somebody who has the misfortune to have to go to an inquest, be that on behalf of a family member, as a witness, if they're a doctor or a nurse and they have to go, they should be able to pick up this book and find the answers. It's aimed at my colleagues, barristers and solicitors around the country, because one of the things is that a medical inquest is different. Inquests are different generally. So if we can help other colleagues around the country to help their clients and help their families that they're representing work through the process, then we'll have achieved our goal, because our aim is to try and improve the learning situation. It's also aimed at sitting coroners, and the feedback, I have to say, has been very positive from those coroners that I've spoken to. I referenced our local coroner, Aimé McGowan, and his deputy coroner, Fergal Kelly. I mean, they do amazing work and Trojan work, as do a number of coroners up and down the country. But the feedback's been very, very positive from them. And they've said, look, it's very helpful for us because, you know, it does reference case law, it does reference statute law. But I think uniquely for a law book, and I suppose I'm blowing my own trumpet here a little bit, but we give practical examples of cases that we've encountered. You know, there's several Sligo cases in there.
Yeah.
And we also give 12 stories. So, you know, one of the things is, you know, Sally's story, Dara's story. So, yes, hopefully it's clear on the law. And there, you know, inevitably any law book might have a bit of jargon. But I would hope that, you know, this group of octogenarians having their lunch in the Springfield Hotel in Leixlip, I would hope that one of those could pick up the book and get something out of it.
Okay. Well, Jimmy has a lot to answer for, but for all the right reasons, as we say. Good luck with the book. It's called Medical Inquest, and it is available, as the saying goes, in all local bookstores, Roger, I'm sure, and online as well, probably.
Online as well. And just a shout out to Libra Books in O'Connell Street. Fabulous bookshop. Brian, Alva, and Mary, and all the gang there—they're fantastic, and they have it in stock. So it was a great treat for me to walk in and be able to see it on the shelves. But no, I have to say it's available from the Claris website, and a big shout out as well to our editor David McCartney. My brothers are all musicians. My three older brothers, and the musical gene missed me completely. So I think writing a book with other people, this is as close as I'm going to get to being in a band. But David McCartney joked that we were the Fab Four, and David McCartney, our editor, was the McCartney of the group, obviously. But Claris Press, Claris, and it's available from Libra, and as you say, all good bookshops.